Welcome to Love Letters Live. This is Janet Gallen with another wonderful guest, and I'm saying another wonderful guest, although he's a guest who's a repeat guest. I asked Jeremy McManus to come back because I read something about what he's doing now, which is has to do with online dating. And Jeremy is a dating and relationship coach in San Francisco who leads the Better Relationship groups, and it's called Cupid Talks.
Yeah, so I have a couple of things. One of the things I have going is called the Better Relationships Group, which is more of a smaller format, and then I also have a larger event that I do with a couple other awesome coaches.
Okay, so talk about the smaller one first.
Yeah,
what is that?
Absolutely. So the Better Relationships Group, you know, I started leading groups probably about 4 years, and I just love bringing 5, 6, 7 people together to talk about my favorite topic, which is relationships, right? And I tried a few different formats, like some working more with just with men, some working with men and women, and I found it way more exciting to have men and women in the, in the room. And we meet
That's interesting. I'd like to get into that
Let's do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, yes, men and women are so different with
the,
you know, occasional man who really has the more feminine qualities or those particular qualities of being more forthcoming. What is it? What do men do alone in a group?
Yeah, what shifted? You know, I had the men and led the men's group for a while, and it definitely gave like a really great kind of sacred space for men to share our struggles around, you know, and a lot of great stuff came up. Like,
oh, because people who come to you are already predisposed to do that. They know why they're coming to you.
Yeah, definitely. This is already like, I'm interested in exploring myself. I'm interested in becoming more relational. I'm interested in dialing up my social and emotional IQ. It's one of the ways that I think about it. And so the men that I worked with really wanted to, just start to explore themselves in the context of other men, you know, with relationships. And then I had my first group with where I injected some more of that feminine, that good feminine energy you were just talking about, and just noticed that the dynamics right away shifted.
In what way?
You know, it was really cool. One of the things that I appreciated was that the men and women, right away, there's this common interest in like, well, what's your perspective on this? You know, or I don't get how you think about this in the dating world or on a first date or when I step into this situation, you know, and to have a safe space to start to explore that.
So right away, they could learn from each other instead of talking to the choir.
Exactly. Talking to the choir or not feeling like they had the safety to talk. Because there's not many contexts in which you could turn to a woman and say, you know, I went on this first date last night and got really confused when the woman did this. Can you give me some perspective on it?
And you're saying that's hard for men to do.
It's hard for men and women to do. And there's not many spaces for it. You know, for there to be a genuine
This isn't a group. This isn't for people to meet each other in order to find mates.
Correct.
This is for people just to talk about how to be so that they can go somewhere else and find mates.
That's it. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the Better Relationships Group.
That's what it's
about. Absolutely. And I mean, as you can probably imagine, amazing relationships are often born out of that group.
I would guess.
And just getting together and sharing and being together and being intimate in that way for 8 weeks. You know, because there's a real intimacy in sharing, you know, our failures and our struggles and our vulnerabilities.
Which is so interesting and sometimes more so than our successes.
Yes, I agree.
And by the way, what well, I shouldn't say, I shouldn't be too glib about this, but you can learn so much from mistakes.
Oh, so true.
Yourselves and others if you're paying. I mean, better you should learn from others so you don't have to come out with the skinned knees.
Exactly. That's it. I mean, and that's one of, actually, Brene Brown on her video, Power of Vulnerability on TED Talks, that's exactly what she talks about. It's
really
just being willing to be, to show this is where I've struggled, this is where I've failed, this is where I've fallen and gotten some skinned knees. And she suggests that that's where we connect with one another, is through one another's vulnerability, not let me show you this big impressive resume that I have.
Yes, I was going to say men and their portfolios and their
Which is our automatic as men. Our automatic as we're kind of, you know,
our trophies and
our trophies.
We're the hunter.
Let me tell you all these kind of initials I have before or after my name or, you know, my income or my car or whatever. You know? And instead, the beauty is really where we connect. And I believe at our hearts, who we are as people, more than anything, we just want to connect with one another.
Oh, I agree.
You know?
I agree,
and so through that, how can I start to be vulnerable and open in a way that lets you see me and lets me see you?
So what are some of the confusing things? I'm asking this. I hope people listening to this, well, there's another issue. Yes, to be ready to go look for somebody.
Right.
So you have to be confident and know What?
Yeah. And like before you, like when you're stepping back into the dating world world.
If you sign up for an online dating service and you're a nervous wreck and you can't open your mouth or you do and nothing comes out, I guess you don't have...
It gets tough to actually have to get that date. Yes, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, this is where the group serves on multiple different levels. One is accountability.
Which means,
accountability is, you know, a member or the members will show up and say, you know, I really want to start dating more. I want to be more active online. I want to start, going to these different events that are happening. That when you say it and express it in a group of people, right away, as you know, because love letters is very much on that same premise. Witness.
Yes.
Then you have the witness. And so you've put it out into the world.
Yes.
And then you say, okay, I'm going to be more active in this way. And then everybody holds you accountable.
Oh, and so you're accountable to the people.
You're accountable to the group.
Because you don't want to go back next time and say, well, I goofed out.
I didn't really get around to it. And instead, it's like, you know, I really wanted to let you guys know that I'm putting myself more out there. You know, so the accountability piece is really big.
So you want to be authentic.
Absolutely.
And have it known that you are. Which
absolutely.
Which is so important anyway in getting a date or a good relationship.
Yes, exactly.
This is so nice.
And this is the space to do it. This is a space to start to build that authenticity.
Do you have a website you want to tell us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please,
it's
before we go any further.
Right on. It's www.sfrelationshipcoaching.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Should I say that one more time?
SFRELATIONSHIPCOACH.com.
ING.com.
Okay, say it again. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. SFRelationshipCoaching.com.
Coaching. Okay. COACHIN. It's an unforgiving world in that way. If you miss it by one letter, you end up alone.
It's so true.
Okay.
People can just Google me as well. I come up pretty.
Okay,
pretty.
Then.
Jeremy McManus.
J-E-R.
EMIMCMANUS.com.
Thank you. Okay, perfect. So what are the other things that people need to develop before they can find a good relationship?
Yep, absolutely. So there's
And then what are some of the things to look out for when you go into online dating? What are some red flags? And
absolutely. So yeah, so one of the other things that's really big for us in the Better Relationships group is also to have a forum where people can come to one another and say, hey, I had this experience, kind of like we were talking about just moments ago, and I need some perspective on it. You know, so one person shows up and said, you know, I had this first date and I felt like it went really well, but then I never got the call back. What happened?
Oh, yes.
Right? Or
what does happen?
All sorts of things. Uh-huh. So, you know, one of the things that happens is, you know, I tend to think about relationships, relationships that are romantic, that are successful, as having at least three components. And those three components are attraction, compatibility, and chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? And chemistry is not negotiable.
Chemistry is not negotiable.
I know.
It's not negotiable. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of where when we step into an online date. So an online date is similar to a blind date. Not totally, but it's similar to a blind date.
Because you've connected and talked.
You've connected a little bit online. You've probably sent a couple emails. Maybe there's been a phone call. And then you meet. Online dating will never replace interfacing in person because we can't capture chemistry interpersonally in the way that it happens interpersonally, you know, when we meet one another. So often what happens is there may be an attraction because you've seen the pictures, that kind of thing. You see some compatibility. A lot of dating sites nowadays do like percentages to rate compatibility. You both like dogs. You both want to have kids, whatever, something along those lines. The chemistry piece, you can't measure.
Now, what I was going to ask you know, sometimes my husband is kind of a romantic and he likes to fix people up and he says, they have so much in common, and I want to leave the room. That's no guarantee of anything.
That's no guarantee. Right. So that's the compatibility.
It can be so meaningless.
Yes. I agree. And so that's when you have two people. So when you go out on that date, when you go to the coffee shop, when you go to wherever it is that you end up meeting at the park, you end up discovering whether or not that chemistry exists. And if it does not exist and you step away from that date, and sometimes it'll feel stronger for one person than the other. So one person's like, wow, I really like that person. I was very attracted to the person. The other person may not be feeling that way as much or may have felt less chemistry. And so he or she walks away from the date and says, you know, I didn't feel a lot of chemistry. I'm going to keep looking.
But what about looking again? Because letting things grow and develop
can totally happen.
So where do you draw that line?
I think it's a great question. I think it becomes, to some degree, it becomes a personal decision. And that's also where the Better Relationships group can be this great forum where you can start to talk about, I can start to talk about, anyone can say, you know, I'm kind of on the fence in this situation. Attraction was high. I think we've got some compatibility. Chemistry is a question mark, right? Should I go out on a second date?
Because
what do you guys think?
And also, sometimes I think chemistry does evolve.
It does.
Sometimes it can hit you right in the head.
Yes. That experience
and
too.
And also, you could be with somebody on a first date who is nervous and isn't showing
his
most electric side or
Absolutely. His or hers, okay. Definitely. And so one of the keys I really encourage, you know, the clients that I work with to walk away from the date with is that sense of openness. Hold it lightly.
Oh, nice.
Hold it lightly, you know, because the tendency, if you don't get that call back, if he doesn't call you, or if there's not, or if you call her again and there's no kind of return, is to take it personally.
I was going to say, you have to kind of get your ego out of the way.
It's so hard.
Because two people who are really fabulous people could be not right for each other.
Maybe not a good fit. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to step away from that and feel like, well, there's an interest or there's an attraction. And then let's say I call her and she never returns the call, never texts me back, I never hear back. And then it's like, oh, what's wrong with me? Because we tend to go really quickly, right? To that favorite place, that inner self-critic that we like to hang out with.
Yeah, I don't know what guys do, but I know for the girls, it's, do I look fat in these jeans?
That's exactly it.
Right.
And we as men have all the same stuff, just various versions of it, which boils down to, am I okay? And we have a certain belief that we're not. And so if he or she doesn't call back, or if they don't respond in some way, we think, oh, what's wrong with me? Rather than considering the possibility, maybe it just wasn't a good fit and maybe there wasn't much chemistry. Or maybe she went out on a date with somebody else and there was better chemistry there. And so she decided to pursue that you know, avenue. And so this is the kind of conversations I love having.
Oh, so you can look at people as this is a process, not a test that you have to pass.
Exactly.
And I guess that's how sometimes people look at it.
We do.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, what about how people hear things? And I'm interested in that because just today I was at lunch with some friends and one of them had called a friend of hers because a man she knew wanted to ask this woman out and they had met and he asked for her phone number and so she emailed this woman and said, so-and-so wants to ask you out. May I give him your number? And she said, no. Well, when she had to say to this man, you know, she's recently divorced and really not ready. And he said, gee, that's odd. She told me to call her.
Right.
And I'm wondering what she could have said that he heard that.
Yeah, isn't that a great question?
What do people hear?
Yeah, I have two thoughts on that. One thought that I have about it is I wonder if in that moment, if she felt a little bit of pressure maybe to be nice or to be kind, to say, you know, we should hang out sometime or you should really give me a call. And that didn't truly feel like her experience. Right. And I think the other possibility is that he could have walked away feeling like things went way better than she did.
Yes.
You know, on that in that exchange, you know. And sometimes, too, we almost need that time to step away from that first date to kind of process it a little bit and hang out with it a little bit and decide, was he a good fit? Was she a good fit? And then maybe in this case she decided, I don't know that he was a good fit.
And then there's individual variation. I mean, some people just do connect right away.
Right away.
Yes.
And it's beautiful when that happens, you know. So, you know, wanted to loop back to what else do we cover in Better Relationships Group. Another huge topic, you can probably guess, is confidence and self-esteem, right? Because, you know, I work a lot with divorcees. I work a lot with people who haven't been in the dating world for 5, 10, 15 years. I work a lot with people who have been super focused on their work and just haven't been able to carve out the time. And a part of it is it's a whole new muscle for them.
Do you think people who are so busy at work that they haven't carved out the time are really a little afraid to carve out the time?
Totally.
Oh, okay.
And then it becomes safer.
And then so they come to you when they're ready to make that
ready to make that step. Or they've said, you know what, I feel like I've tried everything, or I'm scared, or I'm not sure where to even begin, or I've been out of this for 5, 10, 15 years.
Or how does it work these days?
And how does it work?
Oh, my goodness. 15 years, a lot has happened.
It's a lifetime.
Yes. I mean, expectations and... well, sexually, it's just
different,
a whole new... Yes,
different world.
Right. And,
And online dating. Online dating is a phenomenon that now over 20% of people who meet one another, or over 20% of marriages nowadays, found one another online.
Yes, I've heard some wonderful stories.
Right. Whereas 15 years ago, I have friends, dear friends, who have met online. Whereas 15 years ago, that wasn't the case.
Right.
You know, it was a whole different ballgame. So we talk a lot about self-confidence and self-esteem and how you can start to build it up. And part of that great question. So part of that happens through that mutual sense of support. So when we get together as a group, it's a great space to talk about, you know, one another's struggles. And when I see you or anybody else also having a tough time in it, I'm like, I'm not alone.
Oh, that's right. The feeling of being a little freakishly alone.
Freakishly alone.
I'm the only reject on the face of the earth.
I'm it. I'm the only person having a tough time on online dating, or I'm the only person that doesn't have a mate. Because when you're not in a couple, it's so easy to perceive that everyone else is in a couple. You know, and the reality is actually the statistics are about 40% of people in the world are in, or in the U.S. are in a couple,
mm-hmm.
right? And we look around and it feels sometimes
40 isn't
40%
even half.
That's not even half,
right?
Right. So we look around and it's easy as a single person for someone to look around and be like, "Oh my gosh, everybody else has got this perfect, amazing relationship."
Mm-hmm.
So confidence, self-esteem,
and that has to go with feeling isolated and different and not up to.
Absolutely. And back to that part about not feeling okay,
mm-hmm.
right? And so to start to break down that myth a little bit, to also start to acquire some of these skills, we do a lot of like communication skills building in the group. We do a lot of like,
oh,
what do I do in this situation?
Like what? You
like the communication skills mm-hmm. building? Like one of my love is nonviolent communication. Are you familiar with it?
No.
NVC is an awesome set of techniques. And there's a whole variety of ways you can explore it. One of the ways that we explore it in our group is to start to ask more for what you need from a person or a relationship, right? And so the way that that would look, for example, would be, let's say there's a situation you have, maybe it's something you've had with a, you know, let's say you're in a relationship
mm-hmm.
and you want to, the dishes got left in the sink,
mm-hmm.
right? And the tendency in that moment is to get critical. Why do you keep leaving mm-hmm. the dishes in the sink, mm-hmm. right? NVC invites you to practice a different approach, which would be to first define the problem. So to first say, you know, I noticed there's some dishes in the sink
mm-hmm.
and start it and coming from I, not you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yes, I can see
the I messages, right? And then moving to when there are dishes in the sink, I feel. And then after you say I feel, the key part is not to say I feel like you're a jerk.
Right, of course.
Yeah. But to say, to put a feeling after
yes.
it. So I feel annoyed,
yes.
frustrated,
yes.
saddened, whatever the feeling is,
right.
right? And then to say, I need, and then let the person know. And this could be a partner. It could
mm-hmm.
be, you know, someone that you're dating. It could be a roommate or a family member. And then to say, I need, and tell them exactly what you need. Like, I need for the dishes to go into the dishwasher instead
mm-hmm.
of into the sink.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... does that feel feasible or workable for you?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an example of a communication set of techniques that we explore in the group.
So first
and then
you have to know
it.
That you have the right to ask for something.
Right.
Without feeling like you're going to be considered demanding or whiny or bitchy. Or
exactly. Uh-huh. And to do it in an assertive way.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I think a lot of that is if you do it from an I, this is my experience,
right.
the other person is going to feel less defensive. Because as you know, often when we say why or you should.
Oh, sure.
It's easy to kind
I've done
of,
it myself.
Right. I've been there as well. So that's a great example of one of the communication techniques that we explore together and we role play together. And then you then
do
have...
Do people absorb that as something real? Because if it's just a technique,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't come off so...
genuine.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have to...
And initially, it feels kind of forced.
Oh, I
the
see.
First once or twice or 10 times you do it. And the mm-hmm. analogy I give there is it's kind of like stepping up to play golf or a tennis swing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first 5 or 10 or 1,000 times maybe you swing that golf club or that tennis racket, it could feel a little forced when the coach is coaching you.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, just like walking,
it's yours.
It's
yeah,
yours. It
okay,
becomes more natural.
Sense. That makes sense.
You know? So, and then the third piece with the group that's such a great, that we get so much value out of, is also feedback. So one person might say, you know, I feel like I keep scaring my dates off around date 2, around date 4, and I don't get it. And maybe there's a way in which they're showing up in the group that's maybe very strong and very masculine and maybe not aggressive, but definitely having a lot of sort of strong, intense kind of characteristics, right?
For a female, you're saying?
For a man. So I was thinking about
it. So
that
would be good.
Situation. Yeah?
It could be good.
It could be, right? And then there's that place where it can get a little bit too intense, a little bit like, whoa, you need to like slow down there, big guy. So instead of saying slow down there, big guy, well, actually, the forum creates a safe space for somebody to say, for you or me or anyone to say, hey, you know, I'm kind of curious about maybe do I come across too strong? And I just wonder if you guys have any
overbearing
feelings.
Is what
overbearing
you're saying
is exactly.
Yeah, not strong. Okay.
Yeah, overbearing uh-huh. is a great word for it. And then to kind of hear back from the group, if they're open to it,
mm-hmm.
to say, yeah, I'd like some feedback on it. And then one of the group members may say, you know, I noticed when you were talking a few minutes ago, I could feel some of that really strong, almost mildly aggressive,
mm-hmm.
you know, characteristics that were coming out. And I could feel how someone else might perceive you to be somewhat overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas most of the time when I notice you're actually really lovely and really kind mm-hmm. and really sweet. And I just wonder if sometimes that part of you comes out in a strong way that might scare potential partners off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that would be a small example of where.
And that could also be connected to wanting to pass the test.
Yes.
You know, you want to conquer this.
I got to conquer it.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I got to, like you said, it feels like needing to pass the test rather than, you know, one of the things I encourage the people that I work with to hold when they step into it, to hold it lightly, like I said, because the analogy I love there is, you know, when you got a bunch of sand that gets poured into your hand, right? And if you really squeeze tightly onto that sand,
comes
what happens?
Oozing out.
It all comes oozing out.
You end up with an empty hand.
And you have nothing, right?
Good
and I feel
point.
Like it's
yes.
the same way with dating. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same way with life. But it's certainly the same way with dating, because we step into it, and if we hold really tightly, like, I've got to win this person, I have to get them, I have to get the second date, I have to get married to
and
this person.
And nobody likes being smothered.
It feels smothering.
Yes.
It provokes more anxiety.
Yes.
And what the invitation
I offer.
Oh, and
so does the smotherer.
Yes.
Because as
both.
People are pushing you away, your natural sense is to do more of it.
Right.
Yeah, I see.
Totally. So I encourage people to step into it with an open palm and say, have fun. Have a great date. Who knows what happens? Make mistakes. And we'll talk about them at the next group next week.
That's a lovely way to go about it. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you've named this Cupid Talks.
That's the better relationships group that I was just talking to you about. So then another thing we do, which we actually do this about every 2 months, is called Cupid Talks.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is that now?
So Cupid Talks is a place where it's a larger group get together. You know, we'll have, 20, 40, 60 people will come together, and we'll explore more in a didactic kind of a capacity. So in other words, teach you very direct skills and techniques for how you can improve communication, how you can have a better date, how you can improve online dating. And I actually work with three other really amazing coaches in doing that. In the same group. Mm-hmm. So the four of us lead it, and we'll all share something. Like the one we did on online dating, a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. Right. And we did a little bit about what you and I have talked about like confidence building. We also looked at let's look at a sample profile and see what are you putting out there when you have a profile that looks like this? Or what are you putting out there if you have a profile that looks like this? And we kind of explored the different sample profiles because pictures and language and what you're wearing in the pictures, what you're doing in the pictures.
Oh, that's right, because you're printing this out for online dating. You're writing something about yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, because you're doing, we had the day back in the day, right, where you put in the little newspaper blurb about yourself. Nowadays, it's all online dating, right?
And so well, I mean, I go before you put a little blurb in the newspaper about yourself. This was only when you'd be properly introduced
by
someone.
A friend or
and
family
that was
member.
An important issue.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be properly introduced by someone who knows you, and you would. So this is the new proper introduction.
This is the new one. Mm-hmm. So it's really the way that I think about it is not you're doing this wrong on your profile. It's how can you put your best foot forward.
Well, people make a little fun.
Uh-huh.
And there's actually a wonderful song, and I forget who sings it about, he's just some little 25-pound pale fellow who sits in the basement at the computer all day.
Mm.
But online, he's 6'4", not telling the truth.
Not telling the whole truth.
And I have a friend who told the truth about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, she's full. I mean, she's not some skinny little athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And she just described herself so well.
Yes.
And she found a perfect man
Wow.
who also had gone online and described himself honestly. And these two people found, it wasn't long walks on the beach and athletic. And
Right.
It was just about them.
Right. And that's,
so that's really got to be an art to portray yourself.
Totally.
Truly. But I wish this were a television moment because we're both smiling.
Yeah.
You are making this whole thing sound like fun.
It is fun. We have such a great time doing it. And
dating should be.
Right. I know. It is. And it can be. And it also can be incredibly daunting and scary.
Yes.
And anxiety provoking. And so what I want to help anyone do and what I do help folks do is to start to break down those perspectives and break down that myth and show where dating can be a ton of fun, and that's it with online dating. Like, I love what you brought up because the tendency is to present ourselves in a way that's not true, right?
Which is so easily documentable at the first, and then you see somebody's face
and then you
fall.
See them, right? Exactly.
There's a reflection of yourself you do not want to see.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, just like your friend, I encourage people to really put themselves forward in a way that's authentic and honest so that they can attract a mate who's really interested in them.
That's right.
So that way
you
have more successful first dates rather than a bunch of first dates that don't go anywhere.
Yes, I like all this a lot.
Thank you
so much. I want to ask you something having to do only because I'm about love letters.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were talking about portraying yourself on an online profile.
Yes.
That is so much. Well, I have one guest who did a love letters with me ages ago, and she wrote a love letter to her future sweetheart. She's never who she's not yet met, and talked. It was a love letter to him, telling him everything wonderful about him.
Ah.
And then she wrote a second one because she forgot to say some things, and she mm-hmm. just kept the letters, mailed it to herself, and when she meets him, she will give it to him.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, I love that.
So what about the same art as letter writing, when you're writing a profile about yourself,
mm-hmm.
the whole art of a love letter to yourself, I think, is so important because
yeah.
it's focusing on what is good and what is best and what you can get. What do you think about what you write on the profile?
Yeah.
How do you go about that? Do you?
Yeah, I love it. And I definitely see like a correlation here as well. You know, I think really like one of the things as you're talking, it gets me thinking it would be so beautiful to sit down and write yourself a love letter.
Oh, we do that all the time here.
Yeah.
Yes. It's wonderful.
Right?
So who gets your love letter today? And I want you to say you do.
I do get my love letter today.
Have you ever done this to yourself?
You know, as we're exploring it together, I don't know that I've ever sat down and just consciously said, I'm going to write myself a love letter, and here's why I'm beautiful and amazing.
That? Yes. Okay, let's talk about how you would do that. Because from where I sit, I could write you one. So many of your qualities, starting with the physical. And I know that doesn't really matter,
mm-hmm.
but everybody wants to feel attractive.
Yes,
Everybody wants to feel attractive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, everybody is. It's
Agreed.
Only where you look to see it.
Yes.
So what would you say about yourself if you're not too shy to dive right in?
Okay. Yeah.
Dear Jeremy. I am finally sitting down and writing you a love letter.
That is long overdue. And I just want to say that I am really proud of you for showing up, for being on this path towards connecting with other people and helping other people connect with one another,
mm-hmm.
The fact that you continue to invest in the way that you do in the relationships in your lives, like your friends and your family that you hold so dear, for the fact that you have also struggled in dating, in online dating, in relationships, and have stuck with it so that you can now take some of those lessons learned, the tough times, and the great ones, because it can be a lot of fun as well, and are now able to pass that on to other people who are also stepping into this this brave new world of dating and online dating.
So that's wonderful. Would you, excuse me, I like specifics myself
uh-huh.
in a love letter.
Yeah, please.
Would you add things about your physical self? Like, I like what I see when I look in the mirror. I like the fact that I'm wearing my hair like this.
Right.
That I'm not afraid to change. I like how I look when I such. I like that I just finally learn to, I don't know, fill in the blank, bake brownies,
right.
whatever
right.
it is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's so great, and I want to practice this more of affirming myself.
Oh, good.
You know, whether
now,
it's looking
in
the mirror.
Now, when you see your own mm-hmm. handwriting,
mm-hmm.
by the way, you mail this to yourself, you understand,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
And when you see your own handwriting on a beautiful envelope,
uh-huh.
it's really, I mean, even when you go to the dentist and they mail you a card
right.
for your next appointment, you see your own handwriting,
right.
doesn't that give you a little jolt of something friendly?
It is. It's
so
like,
weird.
Oh, that's familiar.
I'm not on a database here. This is
that's
from
it.
Somebody to somebody.
That's it.
So I hope you will do that.
I would love to do
and
that.
I'm going to be in touch with you and find out how you feel, because the you who writes it
uh-huh.
is not the same as the you who reads it.
Yes.
I think you'll be surprised.
It's
I mean,
true.
That would make sense to you. You would know that. But
that's totally
to
true.
Feel it.
Thank you for giving me this.
Thank you
it
for
feels
doing
like a gift.
This with me. Oh, you're just a gift.
Oh, thank you.
I love listening to you and talking to you. And again, thank you. For anybody who is interested in learning more about how to approaching dating,
mm-hmm.
You might want to get in touch with Jeremy. Again, that's jeremymcmanus.com.
That's it.
JEREMIMCMANUS.com. And remember that love letters can be from anyone to anyone, including from you to you.
Yeah.
I love those.
I do too.
And please remember also that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, I'll just say goodbye. Talk to you later.